Okay, Chevra, we are in the process of learning Maseches Sukkah, and what we saw last week, if you remember, you could see the Gemara in front of us, is a sugya about Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim. Effectively, we had a discussion in the Gemara, Machlokas between Abaye and Rava, as to whether we can use our halachic imagination, or whether we could say it nicer, whether there is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that if I have a ceiling, that the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai says that ceiling can drop and that can become a mechitza. That's the principle of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem, that the ceiling just drops and it seals the area off. As a matter of halacha, because it's machlokes between Abaye and Rava, so with respect to Sukkah, we assume that we do not apply the rule of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem, that it will not help. However, with other areas of halacha, for example, in Erevin, right, when I have a achsadra bebikah, if I have, let's say, a area in a valley and the area is covered, so there's a machlokas there also, and over there we paskin that we do say Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem, although there is a bit of a discussion. What we spoke about briefly last week is that an Erevin we're allowed to carry underneath that area, but there is a bit of a discussion in terms of how many walls you need. We don't say Pi Tikra on all four sides. Rashi comments if I have one full wall, I will say Pi Tikra. But according to Tosus, you need three full walls in order to say Pi Tikra. Just one brief point for the architects among us. So Ilan and Marjorie both pointed out to me after the shiur. If you remember last week in the shiur, we noted a Rashi on Daf Yud Zayin that Rashi commented that the case of an achsadra, the case that's being discussed in the Gemara of an achsadra, which is like a portico or whatever. So achsadra, Rashi translated as being a cloister. That was the term that Rashi used. And I was like in disbelief. What do you mean a cloister? I know the cloisters. It's up in Fort Tryon Park. Like, what are you talking about? So apparently, architecturally speaking, a cloister is exactly what we've been talking about, which is I have like a roofed-in area in front of some buildings that is called a cloister, and that is exactly what our Gemara is talking about. Everything works in very nicely. It's interesting to note that Rashi on Daf Yud Zayin, actually, maybe it's worthwhile going back to the Rashi on Yud Zayin for a minute. But if we go back to the Rashi on Yud Zayin, so here, Rashi says on Yud Zayin that achsadra. The case is if I have a courtyard that there is an achsadra around it. So Rashi commented, if here we'll begin the Rashi, it's on Yud Zayin. This just we referred to it last week, but because Marjorie and Ilan emailed me and they explained to me what's going on, let's just read the Rashi again. So Rashi says, Kol chatzer shebashas lifnei habatim, whenever you have a chatzer, it's in front of the homes, and the homes are open to it. Right, and v'abat asu in front of the homes, they make an achsadra, right, around on three sides, and this achsadra is open, and there's no wall, and there is a roof, and you put schach on top of it, etc., 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 and you have a roof that intercedes. And then Rashi writes here. If that overhang is for Amos Psula, then it's no good. Because as a matter of halacha, more than four Amos, we cannot apply the rule of Dofen Akuma, and it's no good. Right? But if it's less than four Amos, Pachos me'arba Amos it's Ksheira, Damin and Dofen Akuma. Dugma l'davar, Rashi says an example of it is Cloistera b'lashon Ashkenaz. Right? That's what we mentioned last week. It's a cloister. This is where Rashi says it. It's a cloister in German. Is it a term in Germany? In German, I don't know. Sho'ezo umos heim hagalochim sheyesh lam avir sheyesh ba'asavim v'hekef achsad jesavivla. Right? It is the cloister in German that there are certain nations who are the galochim. Galochim is a Hebrew term for priest. And it's an unusual term. It doesn't appear anywhere in Shas, this term galochim that's used for priest. Nonetheless, it means priest probably because of what Rabbi Hoffman has been discussing the last couple of weeks on Shabbos afternoon. It's probably called galochim because the priests in their times used to cut the sides of their heads. Since they would cut the sides of their heads in the way that Jews would not be allowed to do it, like if they would just shave off that side, that's why they were called galochim. If I'm not mistaken, the type of haircut that they had is something like Ralph Crampton in The Honeymooners, that they have like this whole thing in the back, right? I think they would cut the sides and they had just like a big ponytail or the like in the back. I think that's what it was, although I'm not sure. But whatever it is, we see from here that there is a halacha of pitikra that we can drop the ceiling. Although pitikra helps by Erevin, pitikra does not help by Sukkah. That was the din that we spoke about. And the case that comes up in Sukkah is this case of the cloister, which we now know is like an architectural term. It's not only what they call the cloisters up in Fort Washington Park. Although, interestingly, Rashi says that their cloister was also done for the galachim. It was also done for the priests. Now, just like very briefly, in terms of the halach of pitikra, so our Gemara says that we do not say pitikra when it's hishves kiruyo. To say pitikra, it has to be that the ceiling is noticeable. So if I have an end, then I could say pitikra. But if I have this overhang and there's schach between the parts, so then that's hishves kiruyo. If the ceiling is all the same level, we do not say pitikra. There's also a discussion in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Erevin that I only say pitikra if it is a flat roof. If it's a slanty roof, like the standard roof that we have, we do not say pitikra. There's a third issue about pitikra, which is that we only say pitikra when the roof is four tzfachim tall. That's the way the halacha appears in Erevin. However, in Hilchos Sukkah, some say that even the Torah says, and Hilchos Sukkah, even if the ceiling, the roof, is only one tefach, it's enough for pitikra. The Magen Avraham in Tafresh Lamed, Se'iv Katin Yud Beit, addresses this issue. How come Erevin is different than Sukkah when it would seem like it's the same rule of pitikra? So Magen Avraham says, well, since by Sukkah, the halacha is that a sukkah technically only needs two walls, and the third wall can be just a tefach. So we see that one tefach is considered a wall by sukkah. So once it's a wall by sukkah, it's good enough to have even a pitikra when it is one tefach tall. These are some of the issues that we didn't cover last week, but we just wanted to return to this week. Zakhti Gemara. Rav Ashi, right? Let's begin. This week's Gemara. It's here at the top of the page. I just scrolled up. Rav Ashi, Ashkeche, L'Rav Kahana, Nekomesachef, Agabe, Achsadra, She'en L'Petzimen. Rav Ashi found that Rav Kahana puts Rach on an Achsadra. We know what an Achsadra is. It is our cloister. She'en L'Petzimen. That doesn't have horizontal beams. The Gemara said that it doesn't work. It was a machlokes Abaye and Rava. We paskin like Rava that we do not say pitikra. Meaning, if you have an achsadra, if you have one of these cloistered roofs, and there are no pitzimin, there are no vertical beams going up, it does not help. We don't say pitikra. But nonetheless, the Gemara says that Rav Ashi finds that Rav Kahana did it. He put schach on an achsadra shein pitzimin. Amar Lehi asked, Lo savar lamar hod amar Rava, Yesh lo p'tzimim k'sheira, ein lo p'tzimim p'sura. The Gemara asks, one second, what? You go like a baya? You don't hold off what Rava said, that we only apply p'tikra when it is yesh lo p'tzimim, when it has those, what are they? Those vertical posts. So the Gemara answers, ach vilei, he showed him, nir'e mi b'fnim, v'shave mi b'chutz, inami, nir'e mi b'chutz, v'shave mi b'fnim. He showed him that this case is unlike the other cases because there's a halacha of something that's near emi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim, meaning it's noticeable from the outside but not noticeable from the inside. Alternatively, it's noticeable from the inside, not noticeable from the outside. And de itmar, we learned near emi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim nidon mishum lechi v'lechi haynu pitzimin. The halacha is that if it's noticeable from the outside, not from the inside, it counts as a lechi, right? And lechi counts as pitzimin. Just to review a teeny bit, and then we'll try to look at some pictures. If you remember, the halacha of a mavui is an alleyway. If an alleyway has three walls like this, so you're not allowed to carry there midrabanan. But if I have a lechi, I have one post, one vertical post that allows me to carry in that mavui, in that alleyway, I'm allowed to carry just because I have that one vertical post. That's what the Gemara says. Great. This halacha of the one vertical post of the lechi that works, this halacha is true even if the lechi is not noticeable from the perspective of the people inside the mavui. So let's say this is my mavoi, my fingers, right? Let's say my post is outside of the area, right? Let's say like these two fingers are the nir mi bifnim. Yeah, let's say like this, right? Let's say this is my mavoi and my post juts in. So if it juts in, it's only noticeable for the people inside. Only the people inside see that post. Still, it's good. Alternatively, if only the people outside see the post, it's also going to be good. That is called nir'e mi bifnim. That's the halacha. And what our Gemara is saying is that this idea is true by sukkah as well. That nir'e mi bifnim mishav mi bachutz also works by sukkah. Let's see. Can you? You see the screen now? No.
Yes.
You can see a picture?
No.
Oh, wait. No, not that.
No picture. Let's try this like this. I really need a tutorial in zooming pictures. Hey.
So, Rabbi Schwartz, just one quick question.
Yes.
So, this, the sukkah of Kahana, is that the she'en lo patzimin, presumably, it's not that it has no walls at all, correct?
It's not that it has no walls at all. Basically, it's a sukkah with two walls.
It has,
and he wants to apply the rule of, what's it called? He wants to apply the rule of pitikra. So the Gemara says that you can apply pitikra only when you have pitzimin, right? That's the basic halacha that comes up in the Gemara. Let's see.
Because the way Rashi was describing it last time was the pitzimin had to be across the entire wall, no?
The Rashi last time was saying the pitzimin have to be across the entire wall because in that case, I need the pitzimin to create a lavud situation to create three full walls of the sukkah. In this case, do you see the picture now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in this case, we'll talk about this case, the top picture. I have two complete sukkah walls, assuming that there's schach on top of those wooden walls, right? I have two complete sukkah walls. There's the wall on the left and there's the wall on the right. And I want to say pitikra, I want that overhang to jump down and to create a third wall. I can only say pitikra if I have pitzimin, which means I can only say pitikra if I have some vertical. In this case, I have pitzimin, the Gemara says. The pitzimin that I have is nira mibifnim v'shava mibachutz. If I am inside that sukkah, you see that area where there are two walls? Mm-hmm. I could see a tiny little board that juts out. From the perspective of the guy inside the sukkah, there's a tiny board that juts out. So that is called nira mibifnim v'shava mibachutz. From the guy outside, if I'm standing on the portico, so I don't notice that that is a board that juts out. It just looks like a thicker wall. But when I'm inside the sukkah, that little chechik, I don't know how you call it, that little chechik sticks out a teeny bit, and that makes it a legitimate sukkah. That's nir'eh mibifnim v'shaveh mibachutz. Does that picture clarify things?
Okay.
Now, the alternative case is if it is nira mibachutz v'shaveh mibifnim, which is the second picture on the page. The second picture on the page, you see the wall juts out, but juts out in the direction toward my left. So the guy who's inside that sukkah, the girl who's inside that sukkah, doesn't notice anything jutting out. But the person who's standing on the portico notices, you see where that little arrow is, right, pointing down, notices, oh, there's something that juts out. So that is the pitzimin. That is good enough that creates a an extra third wall. And therefore, it's going to be a kasher sukkah based on the rule of nira mibifnim v'shaveh mibachutz or nira mibachutz v'shaveh mibifnim. That's the halacha, the way it appears in the Gemara. So far, so good? Now that we have the picture. Again?
I don't want to get too far astray over here, but just two things. Number one, so the picture in the Gemara is the Nira Mibachutz case.
Okay, so the picture in the Gemara. Can you see the Gemara now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the picture in the Gemara is the case of Nira Mibachutz. That's correct. In other words, from the perspective of the guy inside the sukkah, you don't see anything. You only see something jutting out from the perspective of someone who's in the achsadra. So the perspective in the Gemara is Nira Mibachutz, as opposed to the case of Nira Mibifnim. Okay, that's the way the picture in the Gemara is. In fact, the Rashash points out that the majority of Rishonim do not have the text in our Gemara of Nir Emi Bifnim V'Shavemi Bachutz. The majority of Rishonim have the text in our Gemara only Nir Emi Bachutz V'Shavemi Bifnim. In fact, if you look at that top Tosfos, Tosfos's line is Ach Vilei Nir Emi Bachutz V'Shavemi Bifnim. He showed him that no, there is something jutting out which is noticeable from the perspective of the outsiders, right? Sometimes outsiders notice things that insiders don't notice. That's what I forgot who made the comment, that the reason why de Tocqueville was such a keen observer of American society is because he was an outsider. He was a Frenchman, right? Yisro was able to notice problems in the judicial system that Moshe Rabbeinu, that none of the insiders noticed. This is just kind of a humorous way of phrasing it, but the idea is that the outsider notices it. The insider, the person inside the sukkah, does not notice it. That's the picture. So far, so good, Chevra? So,
yes, but one more, and this may be too far afield. But so now this jutting out creates basically a lechi, is what we're saying over here.
Correct.
Right? So doesn't this give support to the Machlokas and Erevin about Lechi being a Mechitza and not for Hecker?
So that's going to be the problem. Yes, it would certainly seem to work if you hold that Lechi is a Mechitza. So then we could say, since it's a Mechitza for purposes of Shabbos, it also works with Inyan Sukkah. But like we saw Tosis in a number of places on Yud Zayin and elsewhere, Tosis does not want to limit any of our Gemaras to the opinion that we're only going with Lachim Mishom Mechitza. We want our Gemaras to be going according to our opinions. And in fact, the top Tosis over here really has serious questions on our Gemara. Let's just read this top Tosis together. Ach vilei nira mi b'chutz v'shavim mi b'fnim. It was a good segue, Ilan. Like, you got me right into the Tosis. So, Tosis asks, Tema, Heichu mo'o b'suka, kevon delo minkar mi b'fnim, shlishis shel tefach. How does it help by sukkah? The person inside the sukkah does not see that third wall of a tefach. De'imishum migu, if you're going to tell me it helps because of a migu, that since it helps with inyan Shabbos, since it works as a lechi, it also helps with inyan sukkah. If it's based on migu, chada da'atu milo avid rav kahana sukkah ela b'Shabbos. If it's helping based on migu, you're going to tell me that rav kahana only would permit this sukkah on Shabbos. It doesn't sound like the Gemara is talking about only on Shabbos. If it's based on migu, migo means that since it works as a lechi, meaning since it works on Shabbos, it's also going to work for sukkah. But that would mean that this is only kosher on Shabbos, and it doesn't really sound that way from the Gemara. At va'od, dilashlishis do'iraisa lomahani migo to the purchase la'el. Tosis also asks, he says, that third wall by a sukkah, zidin do'iraisa. This
so why did this issue suddenly come up? I don't get it.
I don't know. I just noticed it, you know.
I mean, I don't even have access to the account, which is obviously ridiculous. I have no idea how to get on it. So obviously.
Again, I think the idea that we're trying to get at is that Tosis is bothered by your question. How can it be that the Mechitza will help for that this lechi will help for sukkah when in reality it only should help by lechi. It should only help by Shabbos purposes, especially because the purposes of sukkah is a din d'oraisa, and it doesn't seem like this should help on the level of d'oraisa at all. It can't really help on the level of d'oraisa. That's Tysus's question. So far, so good, Chevra? Hey, Marjorie, I believe I don't remember if you were asking a question beforehand or not. If you would like to ask, please unmute yourself and ask. I wasn't sure if you were asking me something earlier or you're speaking to someone else. I just don't know. Okay, let's just move on. Now, the Rush has an interesting suggestion over here. Now, the author of our Gemara, or the player in our Gemara, is named Rav Kahana, right? Rav Ashi found that Rav Kahana put schach on top of this achsadra. And the Gemara has a question, how does it work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Don't we know that you need a pitzimen, that you need some sort of vertical post? So the Gemara says, well, you have the pitzimen, it's just nireh mi b'chutz, right? Like in the question, like in the case of the Gemara and the picture in the Gemara, the pitzim that board is noticeable from the outside, not from the inside. That's what we saw. Now, the Rush has a suggestion where he writes, you know what? Maybe the reason why it works, can you see the picture again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe the reason why it works is because this is Rav Kahana l'shitaso. Remember, we spoke about how a sukkah has to have two walls, and the third wall is a tefach. That's the standard approach in Judaism. However, Rav Kahana's position is that the third wall does not, the Gemara in Daf Zayin says, according to Rav Kahana, the third wall is not only a tefach. The third wall also has to have a tzuris ha-pesach. It also has to have a, right, like what we make our erevin out of. A tzuris ha-pesach is you have a post over here, a lintel on the top. According to Rav Kahana, a third wall is not, a teeny bit is not enough to make the sukkah kosher. You also need a tzuris ha-pesach. So the Rush explains, once Rav Kahana tells me that you also need a tzuris ha-pesach, so that's why we could apply the principle of nira mibachutz or shava mibefnim, even though that principle seems to only make sense by Erevin, where the only issue at hand is Durabanan. But here also the only issue at hand is Durabanan, because according to Rav Kahana, I'm talking about a situation where you have a tzuris ha-pesach. Once you have a tzuris ha-pesach, the only issue at hand is Durabanan. That's the basic point that the Rush made. And okay, I think there is something to it. Okay, any further questions or should we go on to the next Gemara? Next Gemara, right? Kayla, that's what you were saying? Next Gemara?
Yep.
Okay, so we have one vote. Tana, right? So we have a braisa that says that pesal hayotze min hasuka Nidon Kesuka. We already encountered this in passing on Daf Gimel and Daf Yud Zayin, that there's a halacha of Psal HaYotzi Min HaSuka. Psal HaYotzi Min HaSuka means extra stuff from the sukkah. Stuff that extends from the sukkah. A sukkah extension has the din of a sukkah. That's the din. So the Gemara wants to know, my Psal HaYotzi Min HaSuka. What's the case of psal hayotzi min hasuka? So Amar Ula, Ula says it means kanim hayotzim la'achore hasuka. It means that the reeds stick out behind the sukkah. Kanim hayotzim me'achore hasuka. It sticks out from behind the sukkah. The Gemara asks, how does that help? V'ha'be'inon shalosh tefanos, don't you need three walls? The Gemara answers, b'de'ika, you have three walls. Ay, b'habi inon hechsher sukkah, doesn't have to be seven tfachim. The Gemara says, b'di'ika, it is seven tfachim. B'habi inon silasim rubamei chamasa, don't you need that there's more shade than sun? The Gemara says, b'di'ika. Right, so basically I have some, I'll show you the picture in a minute to make it clearer, but basically I have some reeds that jut out from the back of the sukkah, and the case is that it is seven tefachim wide, and the case is that you have three walls, and the case is that you have more shade than some. So you might ask, ihachi maila memra. So what's the chiddush, right? What's the chiddush if you have schach that sticks out, and you have three walls, that's more shade than sun. So what's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, mahu detema ho legavoy avidi, lebaroi lo avidi, emo lo. I would have thought that since it is made only for the inside, not for the outside, so I would have thought that this does not work. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that it does work. So that's Ula's approach. Ula's approach is that the stuff sticks out from behind the sukkah. Can you see the picture now?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the third picture, right, the picture all the way at the bottom of the page. So I have a beautiful sukkah to my right. Behind the sukkah, right, there is a wall, the back of the sukkah. Behind the sukkah, you have this area that has three walls, and you have branches that stick out over the area. And the halacha is, that is called psal hayotzi min hasukkah, and that is going to be a kosher sukkah. So if someone wants to sit in that tiny area where it says seven tfachim, you could sit there, and it's grand, amazing, glorious. That is where you're sitting. It's a wonderful sukkah. The Gemara says, I would have thought that it only works for the inside, not for the outside. The halacha is that, no, it works both for the inside and for the outside. So what is it? So Rashi learns that the it is the wall, meaning that back wall of the sukkah, which is the front wall of the sukkah extension, right? You see I have the sukkah that you can't really see the inside of it in this case, but there's one back wall over there. Rashi says, I would have thought that that wall only would have been inside of the sukkah, but that wall does not work for the outside of the sukkah. The chiddush of our Gemara is teaching me is that the wall works even for the outside of the sukkah. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels. And Tosfos says, come on, right? What type of svara is that? Right? You would think that the wall only works for the inside. It doesn't work for the outside. Walls are walls, right? So a wall isn't like a halachic thing. A wall is a metzias. It's a reality, right? There is a wall over there. I'm outside the sukkah. I'm in that sukkah extension. So there's a wall there, right? So what do you mean? So what if I made it for the inside, not for the outside? Tosfos asks on Rashi, right? It should still help. There's no reason why it won't help just because it's made for the inside rather than the outside. There's no reason it shouldn't help. Rather, Tosfos says that when our Gemara speaks about the inside versus the outside, our Gemara is talking about the schach, not the sukkah. Meaning, the case over here is that this guy, we'll give him a name, we'll call him Slobodan. Slobodan builds a sukkah, and Slobodan puts schach on the sukkah. Obviously, when Slobodan puts schach on the sukkah, Slobodan is intending that the sukkah should be covered with schach, right? Slobodan's intention is not for the schach to protrude over the outside of the sukkah. It just so happens his bamboo is a little too long, etc. So I would think in this case that it's not going to be kosher because you do not have kavana at all l'shem sale. Right? If you remember, we pointed out a Gemara on Daf Ches that a sukkah requires l'shem sale, that you have to put the schach there for shade. You have to put the schach there for purposes of shade. And over here, it's not for purposes of shade, because over here, right, the shade is for the inside, not for the outside. So that's why Tosfos says, the chiddush of our Gemara is that even so, it's the same pieces of schach. Since the schach is for shade for the inside, it also counts as for shade for the outside. That's the way Tosfos learns the Gemara. Sounds good, Chefra? I'm assuming it sounds good because no one has said anything. Okay, let's go. Thank you. Kayla gave me the thumbs up, so that's excellent. Fine, so that's basically the Gemara. The Gemara says, Psal hayotze min ha-sukkah, sukkah extension. Version one of the case of the sukkah extension is that you have schach that protrudes on the back of the sukkah, but you have three walls, and it's all grand. That's version one of the Gemara. Version two of the Gemara, right? My version one is, I would have thought that it's only for the inside, not for the outside. Again, and according to Rashi, that means that the wall is only for the inside. According to Tosfos, it means that the schach is only for the inside, not for the outside. Version two of the Gemara. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Amri Tavayhu. Rabbi Rav Yosef say that the case is, Hocha bekonim hayotzim lifnim min hasuka, umashcha v'azla chada dofen bahadayhu. The case is that we're talking about the inside of the sukkah. I have schach, I have reeds that protrude from the inside of the sukkah, and there is one wall that protrudes with them. Mahu detema halespa hechsher sukkah, kamash malan. I would have thought that there is no hechsher sukkah, kamash malan, that it still helps. So again, unlike Ula, who says that the case is that it sticks out at the back, Rabbi and Rav Yosef say that the case is that it sticks out at the front. If you here, let's see if we can. So here, the top picture, Reish Hei. Picture Reish Hei, if you notice, there is one wall of the sukkah. That wall on my right is considerably longer than the wall on my left. You see that? Mm-hmm. Now, a sukkah needs three walls. That's the rule. In this case, I have three walls as I'm closer to the back of the sukkah. But when I'm towards the front of the sukkah, right, so the wall on the left stopped. So I don't really have three walls from the very front of the sukkah. I have schach that overhangs it, but I only seem to have two walls. I don't have a third wall because that wall on the left stopped. The halacha is psal hayotze min hasukkah, that a sukkah extension is still kosher. And therefore, in this case, there is a sukkah extension, right? That the area by that wall on the right where the schach overhangs, that still is going to be kosher. That's the Gemara according to Rabbah and Rav Yosef. The Aruch Lanner comments that this understanding of Rabbah and Rav Yosef is a bigger chiddush than Ula's understanding. Again, Ula says that the reeds protrude the back of the sukkah. But effectively, you have three walls. It's a great sukkah. It's amazing. What's the chiddush? The answer is that the chiddush is, according to Rabbi Yosef, something much more. The chiddush is that even though I don't seem to have three walls over here in the second case, nonetheless, it still is good because that's called a sukkah extension. That is version two of the Gemara. That's the Gemara according to Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Okay, so far so good. That's two pshatim. Right? Remember, psal hayotzei min hasukkah is good. What's the pshat of psal hayotzei min hasukkah? Either the Ula says the stuff that protrudes in the back, or Rabbah and Rav Yosef say that it is the extension of the sukkah towards the front. Oh. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Reb Yochanan, right? We'll do version three. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, Lo nitzucha elo lasuka sheruba tzilasa meruba mechamasa umeuta chamasa meruba mitzilasa. I have a sukkah that the majority of it is more shade than sun. The minority is more sun than shade. I would have thought that it should be puzzle with that little bit of more sun than shade. Kamash malan. Right? The chiddush is that it still works. Uma yotzei. What does the word yotzei mean? In version one, in Ula's case, yotzei means it protrudes the back. In version two, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef case, yotzei means it protrudes from the front. Over here, what's yotzei, right? It's all one sukkah, right? There's nothing that protrudes backwards or forwards. It's just that some of the sukkah is more shade than sun. Some of the sukkah is more sun than shade. What does the word yotzei mean? So the Gemara says, Uma yotzei, yotzei me hechsher sukkah. Yotzei means that it is area that left the status of being a kosher sukkah, right? Part of the area is chamasa meruba mitzilasa, is more sun than shade, and therefore it left the status of kosher sukkah. Just to look at the picture of this. Okay, so this is picture Reish Vav. Rabbi Barbar Chana says, the case is that most of the sukkah is tzilasa meruba mechamasa. You see in picture two on this page, there's more shade than sun in the majority of the sukkah. But there is some area, like on the left, the area on my left, there's more sun than shade. Actually, the picture is very nice that you could see the bottom is sunnier. The chiddush of psal hayotzei min hasukkah is I'm even allowed to sit in that area where it is more sunny. It's a sukkah extension. And this entire sukkah, right, we view this entire sukkah as being more shade than sun. The fact that some area in the sukkah, that area on my left, is more sun than shade, that does not invalidate the sukkah. Right? Not only does it not invalidate the sukkah, but I'm allowed to sit in that area. I can sit down and get my suntan in the sukkah. Right? It's better than hookah in the sukkah. Suntan in the sukkah. Right? I'm getting a suntan in the sukkah, right? Because I'm sitting on the side. And it's all kosher. It's all grand, glorious, and kosher because it's all one sukkah, and that's called Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah. It is a sukkah extension. So that is version 3 of the Gemara. Again, we're trying to figure out what this case of Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah is. So far, we have 3 versions in the Gemara.
And can you explain picture number 3 again?
Sure. Picture number 3, I'll try to bring it back. Right, so you see the picture now?
Yeah.
Basically, the case is that I have this sukkah. It's a glorious, beautiful sukkah. Most of the sukkah is a majority shade.
Right.
But I have some area on the left that is majority sun. There's not enough branches on the left to completely shade.
So I'm asking picture 3, not picture 2.
Picture 3 at the bottom, which we haven't done that yet.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
We have not yet.
Okay. I
have not yet gone there.
So, okay. so we're applying the rule, the majority rules.
Yes. That's picture 2. We'll talk about picture 3 right now.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Rabbi Oshia Omer, it's the third line from the top, based on the way this page is scrolled up or down, whatever it is. Rabbi Oshia says, "Well, nitzuche elu l'sfach pasol pachos mishlosha b'sukkah katana." The case is I have some pasol schach. The pasol schach is less than 3 tefachim, but the entire sukkah is a sukkah katana. The entire sukkah is a minimally sized sukkah of 7 tefachim. My yotze, yotze mitoras sukkah. Yotze means it is yotze mitoras sukkah, meaning, according to Rabbi Oshia, the case is, and now we'll go back to our picture. The case is that I have an entire sukkah, the bottom picture, the entire thing is a bare, minimally sized sukkah. 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. I have pasul schach. I have a board over there or a piece of metal, whatever it is. That's less than 3 tefachim. The majority of this thing is kosher because it's more than 4 tefachim of kosher schach. Less than 3 tefachim is pasul. The halacha psal hayotzei min hasukkah, according to Rabbi Oshia, says, since the majority is kosher, that area under the board, under that board on the left, is also kosher because it is considered an extension of a kosher sukkah. Now, this is an unbelievable idea because an extension of a kosher sukkah, it's necessary to make it a kosher sukkah, right? To be a kosher sukkah, you need 7 tefachim. Obi, I only have 7 tefachim together with that pasul schach board, but still I consider that pasul schach board to be a sukkah extension to make it kosher. The case of Reb Oshia is by far the biggest chiddush of all the cases. So again, so I have 4 possibilities of understanding psal hayotzei min hasukkah. Either the schach juts out from the back, or the schach juts out from the front together with one wall, or the case is that some of the sukkah is more sun than shade, or the case is that the majority of the sukkah is kosher schach, the majority of a tiny, bare, minimally sized sukkah is kosher schach, but I have a small area that's not kosher schach, and the chiddush is that it still is going to be good, and you can even sit in that tiny area that is under the overhang or under that pasul schach, it still is going to be good. That's what we learned so far.
If it was a big sukkah and the majority of the top was more than four tefachim of schach, but you had partly board, would that be a problem?
So Tosfos addresses the question, how come the Gemara sets it up only with a bare minimally sized sukkah? Why don't we say about a big sukkah also that we follow the majority, etc.? And Tosfos works very hard on this question. This Tosfos Lo Yehei works very hard on the question. I think it's not worth going into that issue in the Tosfos, but you're raising a good point. How come the Gemara only speaks about the minimally sized sukkah? Couldn't we have the same idea on a larger sukkah? So all I'm saying is, great point. Tosfos raises it, and we're going to go on in the Gemara. So far, so good? Let's go weiter. Maskef lo Rav Hoshea. Right? This is interesting that Rav Hoshea is asking on Rav Hoshea. Right? So Rav Hoshea asks, lo yehei ela avir. Ba'avir pachos mishlosha tfachim. Suka katana mi pasul. Rav Hoshea asks, what's the chiddush? If I have a bare minimally sized sukkah, seven tefachim. I have four tefachim eschach, more than four tefachim eschach, and I have less than three tefachim of airspace. So less than three tefachim of airspace never creates a problem. So the pasul eschach should also not create a problem. What's the Hava Amina? That's Rav Hoshea's question. What's the Hava Amina that it would be a problem? Even airspace, which it, as a matter of halacha, is more strict than Pasul Schach. Pasul Schach creates a problem only with four tefachim. Airspace creates a problem with three tefachim. Airspace, we'll see in a moment, I'm not allowed to sleep underneath it. But Pasul Schach, I'm allowed to sleep underneath it. So airspace is more chomor than Pasul Schach. So Rav Hoshea asks, what's the chiddush in this case? If I have four tefachim of kosher schach, and then I have some Pasul Schach, of course it's going to be okay. It should be no worse than airspace, right? Maskel Rav Hoshea lo yehei ela avir. Va'avir pachos mishlosha tefachim besuka katana mi pasul, right? Airspace doesn't invalidate less than three tefachim. So amalei Reb Abba zem mitzdarif v'yishenim tachtav v'zem mitzdarif v'en yishenim tachtav. Right? The chiddush is that by the airspace it becomes part of the sukkah, but you are not allowed to sleep underneath it. V'zeh. But the chiddush in our case over here of the pasul schach is mitztaref v'yishenim tachtav. The chiddush is I'm even allowed to sleep underneath that pasul schach. Sigmai asks, what are you talking about? Umi ikamidi titzterufi mitztaref v'hu atzmo eino kasher? How could it be that the airspace combines to create the proper size of the sukkah? Sukkah has to be seven tefachim. So we're saying that the airspace will create seven tefachim. But nonetheless, I'm not allowed to sit under that airspace. How could it be that something which combines to create the shi'ur to be kosher, you're not allowed to sit underneath it? How could that be? That's what I ask. So mi'ikamidi, is there anything on the planet it's the roof and mitzaref that it combines v'hu atzmo eno kasher, but the item itself is not kasher? So Reb Yitzchak ben Oyashiv says in there is such a thing, and that thing is in the Gemara says titanarok yochiach. Titanarok is mud that can be poured from one vessel to another vessel. In halacha, there are differences between thicker mixtures and thinner mixtures, between things which are more viscous and less viscous. It's basically the equivalent of the difference between dough and batter. Right? Batter, you can pour from, right? You ever made pancakes? But you can pour the batter from one thing to another. Dough, you can't pour. Dough is clumpy. So tit hanarok is mud, but it's mud that is loose enough that you could pour it from vessel to vessel. So tit hanarok yochiach, this pourable mud, and there probably is a better term for it, but pourable mud can prove that it's mitztaref la'arba imsa'a, v'hatoveo bo lo osolo tevila. Tit hanarok, pourable mud, combines to 40 sa'ah. There is a minimum size of a mikveh. For mikveh to be kosher, it has to contain 40 sa'ah of water, which is the amount of space to hold a standard human being, which is ama al ama barum gimel amos, right? The average person is one ama by one ama wide, one ama fat, and barum gimel amos, and around 3 amos tall. Assuming that an ama, let's say, is like 18 inches or 16 inches, so that area of space, that if it's filled with water, one amma by one amma by 3 amos, that's 40 sa'ah. And 40 sa'ah is kosher as a mikvah. That's the minimum size of a mikvah. Now, if you have tit hanarok, you have some of this very liquidy mud stuff that you can pour from one vessel to another vessel, excuse me. So you have titana rok, it's mitztaref la'arba imsa'a. It combines to create 40 sa'a of a mikvah. If I have, let's say, 35 sa'a of plain water, and at the bottom I have 5 sa'a of yucky mudness, so it's a kosher mikvah. But hatoveo bo lo osalo tevila. Let's say a person goes to the mikvah and they go into the mud, right? That does not count as tevila. You have to immerse in the water. Hatoveo bo lo osalo tevila. So I have something that tit hanarok, it can combine to give me the requisite shi'ur of 40 sa'ah, but it itself does not work. If I'm toivo in 40 sa'ah, not good tevila. It doesn't help. But it combines to give me the shear of a mikvah. It gives me the measurement of a mikvah. Similarly, the Gemara explains, when I have avir, the airspace in the sukkah that is the minimum size sukkah of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, the airspace will combine to give it that minimum size. By 4 tefachim of kasher and 3 tefachim of, or less than 3 tefachim of airspace, I now have a kasher sukkah, gevaldik. But I cannot sit underneath that airspace. Right? It's this unusual situation that it combines to give the shi'ur, but it itself is no good. And the paradigm of that is our famous case of tit hanarok. By the way, Tosfos over here has a whole discussion about tit hanarok, how I gave the case that you pour it from vessel to vessel, but Tosfos tries to be a little more precise. Tosfos says the case is that you put a stick in and it like goes straight down. Maybe that's the case of tit hanarok. There are other positions in the Tosfos. Either it's tit shamayim sufin al gabav, it's mud that waters on top of it, or it's that you put a stick in. Tosfos has a few possibilities just to precisely define what tit hanarok is. So again, so what we learned tonight is First, we went through the halacha of nireh mibachutz v'shaveh mibefnim, and how that helps for a sukkah, that it could be that the simin, that extra thing that juts out, that vertical, does not have to be noticeable from the perspective of the person inside the sukkah. That's one halacha. Then we had another halacha of sukkah extensions. And the halacha of sukkah extensions, of psa yotzei min sukkah, had four ways of understanding it. Either it's the stuff that juts out the back of the sukkah, or it's the stuff that comes out the front of the sukkah, and there's only one wall that extends. Approach number three is that the sukkah is majority shady, but there's one area in the sukkah that's majority sunny, and you're even allowed to sit under the majority sunny thing. Case number four in the Gemara is the sukkah is majority kosher schach, the seven tefachim of sukkah is majority kosher schach, but you have less than three tefachim of pasul schach. In that case, you're allowed to sit underneath the pasul schach. However, even though I'm allowed to sit underneath the pasul schach, if it would be airspace, I could not sit in that area. And that leads to this unusual situation of airspace that combines, it creates a minimally sized kosher sukkah of seven tefachim, but you cannot sit in that airspace. And the example of that would be the titan arok, that it combines to give me the sheet or the measurement of 40 sa'av, the mikvah, but you cannot immerse in the titan arok itself. Okay, ladies, gentlemen, any other questions, comments, observations, jokes?
Just going back to what I was asking before.
Yes.
Why is it that they don't discuss it with a big sukkah?
So again, so Tosis raises that issue. It gets involved in too many details. Let's leave that point for now.
All right.
It's a very good question. If you want, you can read that bottom Tosis and you tell someone, Aleph. It's somewhat lengthy, but Tosis discusses that.
Okay.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for learning. We're getting closer and closer to Pesach, but Sukkah is still exciting. Okay, Chevra, thank you very much. Have a good night.